Now, shall we read then in Romans chapter 13? Perhaps a little unusual to read in Romans 13 in a gospel meeting, but my purpose will be very evident in a moment. Romans chapter 13. And we'll read it the 11th verse. Verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe, or when we first believe. Everyone who is saved has a day when they first believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I've read that for the benefit of Christians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is for the benefit of the unsaved here. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Have your Bible. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time, or the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now the final reading, the third, is in the Gospel by Luke chapter 16. One of the most solemn utterances of our Lord Jesus Christ when he was here. And this is no parable or allegory. This is a man that lived here who was rich, and a man who lived here who was poor. Verse 19, there was absolutely a reality. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar, or a poor man named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sore. Verse 22, it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angel into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember, or better, child, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedst thy good thing, and likewise Lazarus' evil thing. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Now the Lord will definitely bless the reading of his word. I'm always sure that whatever else may fall to the ground, and likely much of the substance of what we speak at times is soon forgotten. But the word of God that I have read is living, and it will abide forever. The sower soweth the seed, and the seed is the word of God. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he not only told him to preach the word, but he said, give attendance to readers. And that was the public reading of the Bible. In many places, the public reading of the Bible is of less value than what men would say about it. But in our esteem, the reading of the Bible clearly and reverently is very important. When the Savior stood up at Nazareth long ago and found the place where it was written, as he read, they marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth, and their eyes were fastened on him. I hope that you will marvel at the gracious words that I have read tonight, and also the solemn words, and that your eyes may be fixed not upon the preacher, who is only a vessel, means nothing, but that your eyes may be turned to the one that we represent. It is our desire to focus the attention of the Bible and all that we shall say finally upon one glorious person, our Lord Jesus Christ, for there is salvation in no other person and in no other object. Oh, may you turn to him and believe the gospel before the tent is wrapped up and we go on our way, likely never to meet again. Sometimes we choose, as the Spirit leads us, to speak from a parable, or a miracle, or even an Old Testament picture, but oftentimes from a well-used gospel text. There are texts that God has used all down the ages, and we love to repeat those grand old verses, because God has used them over and over again. The salvation of men. But sometimes I have chosen to preach from one word, and tonight my text is a text of one word. One word of three letters. Everyone should remember the text then, seeing it is so simple. And yet as we shall proceed, we will realize its intense value and the extreme solemnity of it and the urgency that is in this one word that is the text this evening. In each of these scriptures, we have that word. It is the little word, now. Now. In this matter of being saved, time that has passed can never be recalled. Any opportunity you have ever had of knowing Christ and becoming a Christian and being born again, it's past. You can never recall 1 hour of the life that has already lived. And when it comes to the matter of being saved, you cannot promise to be saved tomorrow. It may never be. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Some of us sitting here tonight could be an eternity before another rising sun. I have spoken on a number of occasions to people who were gone the next night when they gathered to preach the word. He couldn't ask you even to go home and think it over tonight. There is one word that is in my mind this evening for you young men that have been attending. And it's a very touching thing to see so many young people here. In fact, the majority that have been attending these gatherings are young people. Many of them that have never heard. Some of them have told me they have never heard the gospel in our lives. Young man pulled in the other night. He was driving a very good-looking car for a young fellow. And he said, "Are you the man that preaches that you can get to heaven without religion or baptism?" I said, "I'm guilty. I'm the man." "Well," he said, "I'm going to bring on Sunday night the boys from my grave to hear you. I've been telling them." Young people are interested today around us. People are concerned about eternity. And older men are concerned about eternity. And I believe that the most that are here tonight, there would be a desire in your heart. You wouldn't reveal that desire. If you're the son of your father and he's a Christian alive, you're here. You're not going to run to him and reveal your thoughts, are you? People will hide the deep emotion and keep hidden the inward workings of God in their hearts. I'm amazed when I listen to people relating their conversion, how that for months and even for years, there were thoughts in their minds when some might have taken them to be utterly careless of salvation. I believe tonight that our men in this gathering and women and young people, and you have a real longing to know what the Christians know. Peace with God and a home in heaven when the journey's done. That's why this word is all important. Now, the past, you've missed it. Whatever opportunities you've had, you've lost them. The future is unknown. Tomorrow's sun may never rise for those who now perish. But there is a time that is available. Now. Now is the well-accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. So I want to bring this word to all our attention. The little word now. What is going on now? At this moment, while we're gathered in this tent, I have read Romans 13 because it has to do with Christian people now, not Christian people that lived 10 years ago or will yet live in a day to come, but it's the Christian community right now, this moment. Now for the Christians that are here. And sometimes it's a good thing to spend a few minutes speaking to Christian people. There may be a backslider, some have been here, who once prayed and sang and enjoyed salvation. But they have gone far away from God. They need to speak to the hearts of Christians. And there's nothing that I know that brings the saints into sweeter tune than the preaching of the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And there's nothing keeps our speaker ourselves. It's a tremendous exercise preaching the gospel. Because the souls of men rise before the heart. At night when you're gone, I relive some of these moments, and I see faces that I don't know who they are at all, and I say to the Lord, save that man, whoever he may be, for eternity. Tremendous thing. Keep the heart soft and sweet. But I'm going to speak to unconverted people that are alive here tonight in this gospel tent. And 2 Corinthians 6:2 is what is going on now for the unconverted. The Bible says, behold, now is the well-accepted time, the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. They have been given a golden opportunity at this moment tomorrow, it may be gone forever. Now is the time that you're going to be saved. Right now. I'm going to turn us to Luke 16 in a moment. The Lord Jesus is the only one that can tell me what's going on now in the other world. Now in this world there are two groups of people, saved and lost. And there's a message for each of them in these scriptures that I read. But now at this moment, in eternity, what's going on? While we sit in this tent, there's only one man that can tell me. Jesus, the Savior of man. And he said in this wonderful portion, now he is comforted. In heaven at this moment, millions are being comforted in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Now he is comforted. Now thou art in anguish. And while I preach here, may God make us really believe it tonight. I do believe it, but I hope it will reach my heart as I preach here that there's a world where millions are in anguish tonight. I'm one of those who believe from the Bible in a real place of torment. What a miracle, and how glad those of us who are saved should be that we will never be there. There is no condemnation. There is no hell for me. The torment and the fire mine eyes shall never see. But in this meeting are some, and it burdens me at this moment. I may never see you again. I want to warn you tonight, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to pause in this tent and ask yourself, dear woman, where will I be in God's eternity when the journey's done? And the last day has come, and life is over, and I have to say goodbye to the nearest and dearest, and leave all that I have known on earth, and go out over the boundary line. Let me ask you tonight, in the name of him whom we serve, where will you be when the journey's done? Will you leave the world and lift your eyes in anguish? Wouldn't it be sad if a young man here would leave a Christian home to waken up in hell? Wouldn't it be sad if an old man here would leave this world after living in it 70 years or 80 years and finish up on the wrong side? Now in hell, what's going on? Men are tormented. Now in heaven, what's going on? Men are comforted. And into one of those two places, all of us will come. Let us realize this tonight solemnly right now, that all of us here will eventually be, every man, every woman, every child on earth, every racial origin, every ethnic group, every religion, whether you come from China or Korea, Japan or Austria, whether it's Hungary or Yugoslavia, whether it's Ireland or England or Canada or the United States, all the nationalities that have been represented, and we may have left some of you out, we're bound for heaven or hell. Which will it be? Will eventually be every man, every woman, every child on arms, every racial origin, every ethnic group, every religion, whether you come from China or Korea, Japan or Austria, whether it's Hungary or Yugoslavia, whether it's Ireland or England or Canada or the United States, all the nationalities that have been represented, and we may have left some of you out, we're bound for heaven or hell. Which will it be?
burning flame. Now, what's going on while we're here? There are only two groups in the world tonight in the eyes of the Lord. Many groups in the eyes of men, but in the eyes of God, there are only two groups in this old world. Those who are saved by divine grace, greatest thing in the world, being saved is the same as a new birth, eternal life. Now what does he say to those who are saved that are here tonight? Now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Many Christians are sound asleep today. Materialism and the world we live in our contemporary society is not conducive to godliness and to spirituality. You walk about this world and we meet so few people that are really spiritual. We can all sleep. I have slept as a Christian to the realities of things. I'm not immune to this slovenly way of Christianity. All of us here, we're in danger of settling down. Oh, may God never let us settle down to the fact that men are dying in their sins. Why there's communities where a tent like this is never heard of. I had a letter recently from a large city in Australia, and the man that wrote me was a pathologist. In fact, he's the city pathologist of that great city. And he said it's 40 years from any man ever pitched a tent in this city to preach Christ. 40 years without the gospel. There are whole tracts and territories in British Columbia where there's not a breath of gospel. Here we're living in a city with great potential. It's a real missionary area. No need for anyone to go to China or Japan or Korea or anywhere else. I'm not against people that want to go. That's their business. But right here in this great city, as we look out over the innumerable races that are gathered, what a place for enterprise. Very little we can do in one little life, but we could fall asleep in our communities to the reality of the gospel. High time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. This is not the salvation of the soul here. It's the salvation of our bodies at the rapture. Salvation is in a threefold installment. Saved from hell by the blood. Saved from sin by the life of the Savior upon the throne. Saved from the very presence of iniquity by the coming of the Lord into the air. The rapture is near, imminent, may take place tonight. Now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us not walk in rioting and drunkenness, chambering and wantonness, strife and envy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean? Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for the Savior will last. We want to see souls saved in the last few nights. Let us pray more earnestly. Let us cast ourselves in total dependence upon God. When I came here, I came in fear and trembling. My partner wasn't able to come. I knew that there were great difficulties in a city like this. I trembled the first day I arrived here and saw this tent and wondered, would it ever be filled with sinners? listen. If we're going to see blessing these next 2 months, then gospel time. We've got to get down before God in dependence. Cast the burden upon the Lord. For a mighty outpouring of His divine Spirit and the salvation of sinners that are difficult. This time cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting. If not one of us can save them or all of us put together, only God can do it. But when God does a work, it is forever. Now what about the unsaved here tonight? Isn't it a sad thing to think that in our gathering are a number of men and women and children who know nothing of the Lord Jesus? They know about the Lord Jesus. Every single sinner here knows about the Lord Jesus. That He lived in Galilee. That He died beyond the gate of Jerusalem. That He came down from heaven to give His life upon the cross. The sweetest story that ever fell in human ears. Oh, sweet is the story of Jesus, the wonderful Savior of man. But up to this hour, His coming has never affected your life. If He had never visited this world, you would be in the same condition as you are tonight. Never change. You know about Him. You've heard His name from childhood. But it means nothing to you. You have no personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. He's not a real person to you. He doesn't satisfy your heart. You have never known what it is to receive the kisses of His mouth. You don't know anything about being alone with Him. Where earthly glory wanes, where the things of earth grow strangely dim. Every one of us in this gathering who are Christians, I'm not speaking of nominal Christianity. A Christian is a person joined to the Christ by an act of faith. He has been born of the Holy Spirit of God. Into the family of God by new birth. And Christ, to every man that's saved here is all together lovely. His blood was shed at Calvary for our redemption. The grand thing to know He died for the world. But let me ask you, man, did you ever see that He died for you as an individual? Only those in this tent who have had that experience of recognizing He was on that cross of shame for me, as if I were the only one that had ever sinned against Him. For me, Lord Jesus, Thou hast died. Has there been that day in your life, that moment in your life, when you realized I'm a lost, guilty sinner, my sins deserve eternal hell. But on the middle cross, the Savior died for the... Why are you not saved tonight? It's because Satan whispers in your ears. Time enough yet. That's why we sang, give me just a little longer, for the world seems now so bright. When I feel that I am dying, I'll be saved, but not tonight. 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the acceptable time. Years ago, two of us were preaching in a tent like this, and a man going out at the door, he said to my partner, I would like to be saved. My partner said to him, When? I can tell you the very day and date on the calendar when you will be saved. you're ever going to be saved. I can tell you the very night when you will be saved. When? When your mind is made up that it's now. Now is the time. Tomorrow may not be. We're living in tremendous days. The coming of our Lord, I'm absolutely convinced in my mind the coming of the Lord may take place in our day. There's no news that would give me greater joy tonight than to hear these words. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. He's coming soon. The world is waiting for the Antichrist. The world is out of gear tonight. Violence and iniquity and sin are rampant. The great nations are preparing for the third great war. The Holocaust is about to break. In the hands of great nations, armaments unknown hitherto. Men in high places are trembling. They know not what to do. Financially and economically, the crash is coming. Religiously and socially, everything is out of gear. And we hear them say, I come quickly. Maybe this is the last tent we'll ever preach under its canvas roof. Maybe this is the last time you'll ever hear the call. What if our Lord should come tonight, the master of the house, and shut the door? In my unconverted days, it made me tremble more than hell itself. When men preached in those days of the coming again of Christ, to remove his church, to take his blood-bought people home, not one will be missing. If he should come right now, many of these seats would be empty. Some believers that are only saved a day or two, and others saved, like one sister here, almost every night, saved in the year 1918, likely one of the oldest believers amongst us. But if he comes tonight, we're all going that have been blood-washed and redeemed by divine grace. We're going home, no more to Rome. Never be a tear, nor a sorrow, nor a sigh. Earth's sad story changed for glory in that day. What a day it will be, the rapture. It's almost here. I believe I'll be here at the rapture. You say you're both Christian. Not at all. I don't want to go by the way of dying. The blessed hope is the Lord from heaven. We wait to see the morning star appearing in glory bright. The blessed hope illumes with things most dear in the hours of night. Came right now, you would be left. The home would be empty for some of you. Father and mother gone, brother and sister, grandmother and grandfather gone. Some of these school teachers gone. All that you've ever loved will be gone. There are places on earth where very few will go. Most of the homes around us here, all will be left. Old streets and avenues, it'll make no difference. Other homes of two there be, where they'll be taken, everyone happy as a man, who can close the door and recognize, if the Lord comes, my children will go, and their wives will go, and the grandchildren will go. Most of the homes here will be split, divided, for the ages of eternity. The saved are gathered home over on the other side. We used to sing with the children. Some of the choruses were anything but scripture, but I always sang this when I took children's meetings. Two shall be together, grinding at the mill. Two shall be together, sleeping calm and still. One shall be taken, the other left behind. Will you be ready when the Savior comes? Jesus said, in that day there shall be two in the field. One shall be taken and the other left. I know this application is right for the rapture. I know primarily it has to do with his coming to reign. But it's equally true when he comes to the air. One shall be taken, the saved are taken into the air, and the unsaved are left for the wrath to come. And we have no idea what that will be like. And the awful days that are coming into this world, the tragedy of the 7 years, a world without Christ tonight ripened for judgment. You ready? Jesus said, therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. He's coming soon. Now is the time to accept God's wonderful gift of salvation. Death may overtake you. Oh, how suddenly death comes to some. How quickly some go down into eternity, one by one. We have no guarantee of another week, of another day, even of another hour. The God in whose hand thy breath is preserves your life. And as you're breathing air here tonight, you're rejecting the wonderful offer of his well-beloved Son. I want you to think for a moment of now and eternity. Where are all the saved that have died? Where are they tonight? Their bodies are in the grave, said to be asleep, but they themselves are in heaven with the Lord Jesus. Heaven is a real place, not a mere condition. Heaven is our home. I'm one reading the scriptures plainly. I believe in a real heaven of joy and comfort and peace. Where there shall be no night there, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And they have no need of the candle by night, nor of the sun by day. We used to sing in the land of shadeless day lies the city four square. It will never pass away. And there is no night, therefore God shall wipe away all tears. There's no death, no pain nor fear, and they count not time by years. And there is no night there. When our loved ones fall asleep, it's a mighty miracle that they're absent from the body. 2 Corinthians 5, at home with the Lord. Those of us who are saved, we're going home. Heaven is our home. A little while here, we wander. A little while here, we witness and wait. But one day, it'll be the home going. Oh, I'm glad I'm going home to the palace of the King. Washed in the blood, saved by his grace, depending on the death and burial and resurrection of my Redeemer and Lord. Heaven is the home, now in heaven. Glorious prospect. But hell is real. Hell is real tonight. I've got to tell you, it's my responsibility as a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus to warn you tonight, to tell you tenderly in this gathering, that there is a hell of fire, a place of darkness and cursing, a place of conscious existence, a place of real fire and sadness, a place of weeping, the Bible says, and wailing and gnashing of teeth, a place of absolute hopelessness. Now he is in anguish. There are millions there tonight in anguish, and some have arrived today to begin their endless cry for mercy. Isn't it dreadful to think of it, that while I preach here tonight, sinners are crying out in hell, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. I hope that no one here will ever echo that cry. No man, wouldn't it be awful to leave this place of blessing where the gospel is preached, to go down into that awful place of torment and to cry out, have mercy on me. Too late. Never to be saved. Lost at last. Never intended to be lost. But lost, not for the years of time alone, but eternity. You know the most terrible thing about hell? The gulf is fixed. Beside all this, put alongside all the other terrible things about it, Jesus said, beside all this, there is a great gulf fixed. Every other thing that you can do wrong in this life can be fixed, changed, and altered. Any mistake you've made in your life, there's some remedy. Any sin you've committed can be forgiven. God is willing to forgive. Any tragedy that you've had here, time can erase it from the mind and memory. Now listen, you make a mistake, young man, about salvation. Dear woman here, you make a mistake about your soul. There's a father maybe here, don't make a mistake about eternity. Everyone here, whoever you may be, religious or profane, don't make any mistake about this matter of your soul's salvation. I can't look into your heart. I can't see whether your name's in the book of life. There's not a man on earth can tell. Exactly, there are those that I'm absolutely sure about. There are many others that one may have a query about, but we would never say it out, because we might make a mistake and hinder a tender plant. But there are those that one wonders about a child. But there are others that are out and out unbelievers. There's no doubt about where they're going. Wouldn't it be an awful thing to finish up your life? Come to the last day. Close your eyes. And lift up in hell, lost. Lost, oh, I entreat with you tonight, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose I am and whom I serve, that you will stop in this gospel tent before it's too late, before you plunge over the precipice and perish. Don't perish in your sins tonight, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Why did he give him? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. To perish in a burning, flaming house is dreadful. To perish in a wrecked car on the highway, dreadful. To perish in the ocean, far from the shore, but oh, to perish for eternity in the lake of fire. It must not be with you. You must consider this seriously tonight in the light of the book and in the light of these solemn tent meetings. Soon the voice of the preacher will be heard no more. The tent will be gone. Thing of the past. the opportunity. God is moving. Not every day move. The tide comes in and the tide goes out. Many places we go and the interest is poor and waning. But here the tide is coming in and God is moving. While on others thou art calling, do not pass them by. Sinner tonight, turn to the old rugged cross by an act of faith and gaze on the bleeding, suffering Lamb of God who died and rose again. And trust him with all your heart and be saved for all eternity. God grant it through our Lord Jesus Christ, shall we pray. Father, we bow before thee in that sacred name that is above all others. We think of the solemnity of this present moment now for us who are saved and for those who are lost. And for men in eternity tonight, what it must be like in heaven with Christ, the joy and the gladness the half hath not been told. Neither has the half been told of the sorrows of eternal loss and the remorse and wails of the damned who have missed Christ and will never be saved. And in our gathering, there are those who are heading straight for eternal ruin. Oh God, put them as a brand from hell, we pray. Grant that some sinner may weep his way tonight to the foot of the cross by faith and cry out, what must I do to be saved? Tonight someone would believe on our Lord Jesus Christ. Start for heaven, some grandson, some child of many prayers, some father tonight, a mother, a grandfather, a stranger within our tent tonight that has never heard the story of his love, never heard there was a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Grant that someone may come tonight believing thy precious word. We ask it in the name of him who bled and died, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now shall we sing together this time, number 3, Almost Persuaded, Now to Believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive, seems now some soul to say, go Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day, on thee I'll call. We don't make any appeals in these gatherings for people to walk to the front or to give any visible demonstration. That doesn't mean we're not concerned about you. And on these two tables, the Christians have brought gospel papers, especially God's Way of Salvation by Alexander Marshall, and Safety, Certainty, and Enjoyment by George Cutting. Valuable papers for an anxious soul. If you think a conversation would help you, I'd be very pleased to speak to you either here or any place of your choice at any time by day or night to tell you more of the story of Calvary. The ushers desire that we should stand to sing because around the door there's a little confusion there, so many chairs. So we'll stand to sing this third hymn.